We're going to read from the Scriptures, turning to John's Gospel, chapter 8. John, chapter 8, and we're going to read the first 12 verses of this chapter. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, and when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. They which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest even unto the least. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Amen. God always follows with his own blessing the reading of his own precious and infallible word. Turn again, please, with me in your Bibles to the 8th chapter of John's Gospel. And in the words of verse 12, you will find the verse that we want to leave with you this evening. Before we bring God's word, shall we just seek God's face momentarily in a word of prayer? Gracious God, we ask again for the help of thy Spirit, praying, O God, that thou would bless thy word, taking the things of Christ and revealing them to us. And grant, O God, that we might know that fresh pouring out of the oil of God upon us in anointing from heaven. And may thy word be with power, bringing conviction and turning the hearts of sinners to Christ. We ask it in his name. Amen. Verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In the previous chapter and the verse 2, you will discover that the Lord had just attended the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles. And I'm sure you know that this feast was celebrated to remind God's ancient people of their pilgrim journey through the wilderness to the Promised Land. You will also remember that during their wanderings, The children of Israel were supernaturally provided with manna to eat, with water from the rock to drink, and with the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire to shield them and to guide them both by day and by night. In his teaching, as recorded here in the Gospel of John, our Lord Jesus Christ had spoken of himself in chapter 6 as the bread of life. He spoke of himself in chapter 7 as the water of life. And here in chapter 8, he speaks of himself as the light of life. I am the light of the world. This is one of the most meaningful utterances ever voiced by the Savior. This word in verse 12, which speaks and says, I am the light of the world, is very important for us to understand. In these simple yet majestic words of the Lord Jesus, he reveals himself to be the uncreated light of deity, clothed with humanity. He is the God-man. He is the Lord from heaven. He is God who became man and continues to be God and man in two distinct natures, and yet one person forever. If you think again of that pillar of cloud by which the children of Israel were led in the wilderness, you will realize that the Lord Jesus Christ, just as the light of that pillar, the light of that fire by night, guided the children of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, will guide his people until they reach their desired haven. How wonderfully this verse illustrates the identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the light of the world. Here he is shown to be truly God. Here he is shown also to be truly man. In the Shekinah glory, we see his deity. And we also see him here speaking as man, the God-man. During his life on earth, men were trying to find out who he was. Many asked questions as to his who he was, as to his person. Even John sent messengers to him to ask if he was the Christ, the promised one that should come. In John chapter 1, we have in that opening chapter of this gospel the words which say, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so we have in these words of Scripture the identity of this light. Jesus Christ is the Lord from heaven. He is the God-man. And then in John 9 and verse 5, he declared, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, if we were to discuss the source of physical light, that light that these mornings begins to shine very early on, very brightly, wakes us up and brightens our lives throughout the day, we would conclude that this great sun which lights up the world is some 92 million miles away. Meteorologists tell us that the sun's light reaches us at a speed of some 186,000 miles per second. Now, these figures are startling. They boggle the human mind. But when we turn to the source of the spiritual light, the light from heaven, our hearts are comforted. Our hearts are strangely warmed by the nearness, by the proximity, by the immediacy of God's light as far as Christ is concerned. He's at hand. He is with his people. He has promised never to leave us. And thank God, Jesus, as we've been singing, is the light of the world. And my dear friend, you need not walk in darkness, because you can have the light of life. For the Lord Jesus Christ is present here in our gathering, and he's offering life and light to those who are without life and to those who are walking in darkness. If you're still in the darkness of your sin, thank God the Lord Jesus Christ is not 92 million miles away. He is not coming to us at a speed of 186,000 miles per second. He's here. For he has promised that where two or three are gathered together in his name, there am I in the midst. And our Savior, being in the midst tonight, calls sinners to repentance, calls men and women to look to him, to behold the Lamb of God. My dear friend, tonight, you can know his nearness and his presence. He's the light of the world, and he has come to give you light and to give you life. Dr. John Bailey was a lecturer in Edinburgh University, and his chief subject was theology. And he was lecturing one day on the doctrine of God. And he said to the body of students, "Gentlemen, we must remember that in discussing God, we cannot talk about him without his hearing every word we say." He said, "We may be able to talk to about our fellows behind their backs, but God is everywhere, even in this classroom." And friends, tonight, God is here, even in this house of God. And he's here, and that to bless us with his Spirit's quickening power. May we see the cloud already bending, waiting to drop that grateful shower. May it be the desire and prayer of hearts tonight. Let it come, O Lord, we pray. Let the showers of blessing fall. We are waiting and expecting, O revive the hearts of all. Jesus said unto them, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." As the light of the world, Jesus came to guide us by a straight path into the very presence of God and to heaven. The Bible has much to say on the subject of light, and we need to consider what it has to say. We need to think about the light of knowledge. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, "God commendeth the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." So there is the light of knowledge. When that light begins to shine in our hearts, it brings to us the knowledge of ourselves, the knowledge that teaches us that we are sinners. It shows us the blackness of our hearts. It shows us the depths of sin. And if you're prepared to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will find that this light of the knowledge of Jesus Christ has begun to penetrate your soul. It has begun to penetrate your heart. It has begun to penetrate your life. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 36, "For with thee, O Lord, is the fountain of life. In thy light we see light." And when the Lord Jesus Christ draws near and makes his presence felt and known, then the very light that radiates from him makes us to see light. And in that light we see ourselves as guilty sinners. We also see the Lamb of God, the light of the world, as the only Savior from sin. And in seeing those two things, ourselves as sinners and Christ as the only Savior, thank God there's hope. And praise God tonight, you, my dear sinner friend, can come to this light and step out of darkness and follow the Lamb of God. There is the light of knowledge. May be that God in past times has shone that light of knowledge into your life, and you have been enlightened as to your state before God, but you have spurned it, and the light that was in you has been turned to darkness. And the Bible warns us concerning such and says how great is that darkness. My friend, it's dangerous when once a man or a woman who's been enlightened and who's been brought like the rich young ruler to the feet of Jesus has seen his need of Christ and has seen Christ as the only Savior, and to turn your back upon Christ when you're about to enter through the door. My, such an one, having been enlightened so far and turns their backs upon Christ, then goes away. They walk into the darkness and the dense darkness. And it's very sad because I'm never sure if ever such an one will be brought back to that light again. And if they are, it is surely by the grace and kindness of our Lord himself. And so tonight, if you're at the door of heaven, if tonight you see your sin and you see Christ as the only Savior, don't turn away. Because in turning away, you could be turning into everlasting darkness and into everlasting doom. Not only is there the light of knowledge, but there's the light of fellowship. John 8 and verse 12 again here says, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." And in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, this same apostle writing says there, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." There is no greater experience in all the world than walking in the light with Jesus Christ. Tell me, are you walking in that light? Not only are we kept clean from every sin, but we have fellowship with God. We have fellowship with God's people. We have fellowship and joy and power and blessing. And these continue along the whole course of our lives until God brings us safely at last home to heaven. And then, praise God, that fellowship will be forever and ever and ever. The light of fellowship, walking in the light, walking with Christ, knowing him as our companion as well as our Savior, knowing his presence as we journey step by step along life's road, knowing that friendship and fellowship in days of trial, in times of darkness around us. Isn't it good to know we have the light of knowledge and the light of fellowship as we walk with Christ? There is also the light of holiness. Proverbs 4:18 says, "The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day." The light of the knowledge of Christ leads us into the light of the fellowship that we have with Christ. And the light of the fellowship we have with Christ in turn leads us into the light of holiness in Christ. Christ-likeness, coming more like unto God's dear Son. Paul, in writing to the Hebrews, exhorts us to follow holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And in the Beatitudes, Jesus teaches in Matthew 5 and verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And the fact is that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. And praise God for the knowledge, for the fellowship, and the holiness of the light of God. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." My friend, are you walking in the light of Christ tonight? Are you walking close with Him? Are you following the Lord Jesus? "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." In the first chapter, going back again to chapter 1 of this gospel, John tells us that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jesus Christ is not only light, but he's life, and he's the light of men. John 3, verse 20, "Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deed should be reproved." This is a searching light with a searching force, and it penetrates the heart. And as a searching force, this divine light operates, we might say, like an X-ray. It exposes life, it reveals character, and it shows what we really are. As an X-ray exposes the disease and allows the great surgeon to deal with it, so the light of God's truth, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, exposes sin in man and allows the great heavenly physician to deal with it, to remove it, to take away that cancerous boil of sin, and to, instead of death, give life. And praise God tonight, Jesus stands among us and offers that light and that life to you and me. Let us receive it. Let us accept it. Let us experience it in our lives. "The Lord is my light," said the psalmist, "and he is my salvation." This light is a saving light. The Lord is my light, and he is my salvation. He is the strength of my life. It's a strong light. Thank God, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to save unto the uttermost all who come unto God by him. The Lord Jesus Christ has power to save even the deepest dyed sinner. He can reach down to the very guttermost, and he can lift from the miry pit, and he can set upon the rock and establish the sinner in the way to heaven, giving that transformed sinner a new life, giving again light, giving him a new song, giving him something to sing about and to rejoice in. My dear friend, when, as Malachi refers to the Son of Righteousness, arising with healing in his wings, my, when that Son of Righteousness, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, arises with healing in his wings, in your life, in your experience, my, what a change. What a change in your life will be wrought when Jesus comes into your heart. We can never think about Christ and think about him as the light of the world and the Savior of the world without thinking of that dark hour on Calvary, of that dreadful experience upon the cross when the Lord Jesus Christ was made by the Father sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When there was laid on the Lord Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all, when the Father turned his back upon him, and when in the darkness and in the agony, the Lord Jesus Christ cried out, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" My, what an hour it was! What a dreadful experience for the Son of God who loved us and died for us. My, when we think of Jesus Christ and being all these things to us, we must think of Calvary. We must think of the cross. We must think of his death and his agonies and his shame and his sufferings, because without the cross, there is no salvation. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Without the Savior laying down his life at the place called Calvary, there is no road to heaven. There's no way to eternal life. And so we thank God tonight for the one who, when he was on this earth, taught that he was the light of the world. We thank God that he went on to lay down his life that we might have that light of the glorious gospel shining in our hearts. Tell me, do you know that light in your soul? Can you sing as we were singing at the start of the service? There is light in the valley of death now for me, since Jesus came into my heart. I have light in my soul which so long I had sought, since Jesus came into my heart. None of us know how soon death will overtake us. We were hearing about the bandsman last evening in Portadown at that rally in the field, who suddenly collapsed and passed into eternity. And tonight, he's not in this life anymore. He's in the world to come. Tell me, if that should happen to you, and your life should suddenly collapse all around you, physically speaking, you drop on your feet, you pass from this scene of time. Tell me, into what kind of world in eternity will you go? Will it be to heaven? Will it be to hell? Thank God you can escape the damnation of hell through the love of Christ and the compassion of the Savior, and through his finished and atoning work upon the cross. By casting yourself upon that finished work and accepting it wholly and completely, and saying, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Save me and make me thy child." Thank God, he'll hear your cry. He'll save you and make you his own. I trust tonight that you'll do that. Do you then know this divine light in your life? Have you personally encountered Jesus Christ as your Savior? Why not receive him now? Why not let him come into your heart tonight? Why not follow him, begin for heaven's start tonight, and experience the power of saving grace, and experience the joy of sins forgiven, and the assurance that it's well with your soul? Will you come? Come now, don't delay. Claim, accept, and take Christ as your Savior. Let us bow together in prayer. Our gracious and eternal God, we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee for Christ, the light of the world. And O God, our Father, we thank thee that light has shone in darkness. O God, our Father, we thank thee for those who have followed the light. We pray that others might do the same. And even now as we pray and heads are bowed and hearts are solemn, that some in this meeting house will offer that cry for thee to be merciful to them and to save them even as they sit in the seat. Lord, give that grace. And give it now, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.